You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. We're so excited you decided to join us. Make sure you go over and leave those five-star reviews. If you like this, go over and listen to our other podcasts, like the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast or High School Hoops or Funnel Down Defense or Coaching Youth Hoops or whatever one of the seven in our network that you would like to listen to. But before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. They are always, what I love about Dr. Dish is they're always innovating. They're always making that a little bit better, and that's why I think they're the best machine out there. We, like I've said before, we own three of them, and I would not be talking about them every day if I did not believe them. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off, and they'll give you A1 customer service. And then also, what helps keep the lights on, what helps keep everything moving, is teachhoops.com. It's for coaches who want to get better. It is a one-stop shop by a basketball coach for a basketball coach. I'm always working with my team 365 days a year, working on making us better. And I want to do the same thing for you. I'm giving you resources, one-on-one calls, office hours, a roadmap per se that will help you become a better coach. And we offer a 14-day free trial because I believe you should come in and kick the tires around and see if it's right for you. If it's not, that's fine. But I guarantee that you're going to love it. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
And he's got to run up and he's got to be a trapper on the other side. So he's got to get his nose up ahead of the ball. He can't buddy run. He's just got to pick out the angle on the court where that guy's going to get to. And so because we've got a cone up there somewhere, around this level, he knows this guy's not going to screw up the drill and start dribbling back towards the middle of the court. That's not the idea. He's just trying to get here before the defender does. And so if we do that, they've got to do it four times. One, two, three, four. They've got to be able to do that.
And you want him to get in front of the dribbler, cut him off.
Yeah, yes. This guy's job is to straddle the sideline because you can step out of bounds. The offensive guy can't. And so when we added our trapper to that, they're constantly going from being the two that are in the guys that are in the trap to the guys sprinting out of the trap and coming together to bring that L together. And so to me, it's the best trapping drill I do. It's tiring, but the guys really like it because I make it competitive, blue against white. And, we score it at the end. And so it'll be all blue going against all white for 10 possessions. And then we'll flip it around, and they really take pride in it, and it teaches them to communicate because the two trappers basically are like two people trying to herd a sheep.
Right.
And right. So you can't do that if you're silent out in a huge field somewhere. If two cowboys were trying to herd sheep, they would communicate. They would actually bring their arms together and kind of scoot that guy towards the sideline. And so it really builds the now call, the L trap, shutting the door. The last guy, you know, when the first guy stops forward progress, the other guy comes and he slams the door shut. And so it really works on doing that. It's way better than, you know, if you look at it, it looks like the old fashioned zigzag drill, but it's way better than the zigzag drill.
I love that.
UConn, you know, I just break down. I start with the two positions, and so this is how we rotated this year. And so I just break down the responsibilities, you know, when to stunt, how to fake, where we want to trap right there across half court. I break down all of that, and then I have X1 take X4's position. X4 goes off the court. And everybody that comes in has to play all the positions as I'm teaching it, even if I don't end up doing it throughout the year. As I'm putting it in, I want them to know what everybody's supposed to do, because you never know if they're going to have to do it in a game.
Right.
And so then we built that up with a third man. You know, if you choose this as your rotation, that five man's got to take away the sideline pass. And so – you know, my rotation would be one takes four spot, four takes five spot, five steps off the court. And, you know, again, you see in my notes there, they learn when to say now, how to take it away. All the communication that we as coaches say is most important.
Yeah.
I'm telling them what to say and when to say it, what they're looking at to know when to make that call.
Right. Don't assume they can do it. That's what I tell the young coaches.
Right.
If you don't tell them what to do, don't assume any. It's like, why aren't they leading? Well, it's because they don't know how to lead. You have to teach them how to lead. Like, it's the same thing with talking.
And so these are some of the things that we're doing in that first 20 minutes where I say it's player led. You know, once they know how to do it, then we do all of this 25% speed and we over communicate. I always tell them to say what you see. And so if they're all saying what they see, you know, five on this screen right here, he's seeing four and one. He's going to have the best view to say what he sees. And so those people in the back should really over communicate. And if you do it slow, it'll help them when it's fast, but you can't have them do it when you're going full speed. If they've never communicated well before, they can't do it when they're going full speed. They're trying to remember too much. So I think you have to teach it slow, and then I think that actually helps them get it quicker when you teach it slow at first. So you see when we have a four-man rotation, how we go through that. Wolf, you know, I do this from all different angles on the court. I show this in the middle, but I start the two defenders at the blocks, the offensive guy at the free throw line, and I have him dribble on whatever hand he dribbles with. I have him stay with that hand because I feel like that's more game-like. He can't keep switching back and forth between his right and left hand. That's not the way it would happen in a game against the press. And so,
right,
you know, I'm teaching those defenders that they're never beat, and how to flip up with their inside hand, their shoulder that's closest to the defender, how to flip up instead of swipe down to try to tap that away. And really,
yeah,
I would say we get – probably more steals this way by somebody thinking that they beat us probably than almost any other way.
No, I think it's a great thing too. That, I mean, yeah, we practice the coming from behind thing because it's going to happen if you're pressing. But it's that swipe up that they need. I mean, they don't practice. I don't know. They just don't do that. A lot of them don't do it naturally. There's a few that always do, but
no, you can't hold them to it, or you can't yell at them for fouling if you've never showed them the right way to do it without fouling.
Right.
And so, you know, really, that tends to happen with a trap right up here or a trap over here. And so we break out of that a lot and have them. And, you know, I don't have it shown here, but we actually build up. You know, I have an offensive guy and a defensive guy here. We build up to 5-on-5 out of this and have, you know, different guys come out of the off of the sidelines to make it more realistic. And, you know, you can use your imagination for how you would do that. But if he gets past you, you know, he is going to face another defender pretty soon. And so it's really teaching offensive decision-making as well as defensive decision-making. And I think, you know, when practice time is limited, you want your drills to cover as many things as possible. Implementation ideas. Don't try to do all of these or even half of these.
Yeah.
Use the off season to plan ahead. Like I said, you probably know your opponents, or you should know your opponents well enough to know what top three or four things will work best, will give you the most return on your investment. If you think of it like a debit card, what is going to give you the most value for the amount of money that you spend?
Right.
Money being time. And so then number three, script different what ifs every day. As with offense, you know, we want to get to the point by the end of the year where we're not teaching more plays, we're just teaching them how to play. You want to do the same thing from day one with your defense. And, you know, in football, linemen learn how to pressure effectively, safeties learn how to make reads. And, you know, I think in this scenario, your linemen are your trappers and your safeties are your interceptors. And I think, you know, if football coaches can do it, I think we can do it with far few players.
I think we can too.
going into a game, I think it's a good idea to script the first three possessions and just change your look each time. And so
do you do that on offense and defense?
I try to. I'm not going to say that I always do it, but I do it a lot. And okay. Again, if you're going to do this, you have to practice it a lot.
Yeah.
But it does help you know what will be the most effective. And like I put here, you want to play chess, not checkers. You want to be a couple moves ahead. And so, especially the second time that you play somebody in a season, you know, you can really get to the point where you're using one of these actions to set up another. And so maybe you're using that read to set up the fact that you're going to go back and squeeze or something like that. Number two, I show you what I talked about there.
Odd and evens, yeah.
Yeah, how I've done it. Always use one alignment after a free throw. And so we're always in a 2-2-1, and we may be in just a regular 2-2-1, or we may change a stunt. But a free throw gives you an incredible opportunity to put people where you want them. And it really kind of – I started doing this just because I had a really bad free throw team, and I didn't want to to hurt us. And so we ended up doing really, really well despite the fact that we didn't shoot the free throw very well. Use a different alignment or stunt on other dead ball situations. And then, like we talked about, if you can get to the point where you're pressing off of misses, that you've really,
if you can press off misses, you're at a whole different level. Yes.
So John Kimball's where I got a lot of my 2-1-2 stuff. We talked about Forrest Larson. Vance Down was Harrison Barnes, coach there in Iowa. Showalter there in Iowa, you know, really good high school coach. Shaka Smart, he was here at Clemson. And then when I was in the D.C. area, he was at VCU. So I've got
a lot of great drill stuff, too, for the Havoc stuff.
Ton of information from him. Andy Landers, he's now retired, but he was the women's coach there at Georgia and coached some really good players. Bob Huggins' box theory is, you know, you want to get the ball to the side of the court between the free throw lane and the sideline. And once you have it in that box, you want to shrink that box till you get all the way to the corner. And so, you know, we used to deny passes to the wing, and I don't deny passes to the wing. I want the ball.
That's where we want it, because the angles are better at that point, to be honest with you, to trap. Yeah.
And so that's why I want, no matter what we're doing, I want the ball to cross half court on the outer third, because that puts them in that box from the get-go. And the quicker I have them in that box, the better everybody on my defense can be. And again, if everybody on my team is on that half of the court, then it's going to look really, really crowded, and they're going to try to pass around it or pass over it. And that's what you want. You don't want them to be able to pass through it. So, and then Rick Pitino did a black-white press a long time ago when he was at Providence, and he did some of it at Kentucky. But it was, you know, run and trap on the sidelines. And then if the ball went middle, it was run and jump in the middle. And You know, I haven't seen anybody do that recently, but, you know, I've done that a little bit with a run and jump, and that these are all people that I've gotten ideas from, and I've kind of combined them into one package and taken what fits me and what I can do easily. So, again, I want to give credit where credit's due and realize that I'm not.
What's the hardest thing to teach on this?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Initially, you know, if they haven't been pressing very long, it is how to make those reads in games and, you know, get into that see it, fix it situation. And if you're pressing, you're going to quickly see a problem and then you're going to need to fix it. And it can't be, well, coach, that wasn't my responsibility. When you're pressing, like I said, you're going to keep going from one job to another really, really quickly.
Right. Let's go back. Hey, put your screen back up with your things on. I didn't mean to close that out with your contact stuff too. I just got questions that we can talk to while that screen's up. So how much of your practice time do you use to do this?
You know, initially at the
go to a high school, coach, not you with your players. When you were coaching high school and you were pressing, how much time did you have to spend in practice on this, early, mid, late?
So early, I would probably spend 75% of practice. And, you know, again, it was what I thought would bring me the best return for my money. And, you know, especially being in Atlanta where a lot of people are playing football. And when they're coming to basketball, they're not ready to face presses and that kind of stuff. You know, I really looked at what was going on, and I really started doing that. It helped my guys be able to face pressure and make reads really a lot quicker. And they ended up doing a lot of our turnovers in the half court ended up being a lot less, a lot sooner, because they were facing a lot of pressure every day. And so you get towards Thanksgiving, you have your whole team and all of that. You know, I start to do a little bit less. You know, at Christmas, I'm doing even less. In fact, at Christmas, I'm trying to simplify. You know, you're into league play by then. A lot of people have you scouted. You've got enough film to know what has really worked for you and what you need to scrap. And if something hasn't worked by Christmas, then it's not, in my mind, it's not going to work.
Right.
Stop trying to force it. Just take whatever you're doing well and just get better at what you're doing well. And so by the very fact that you scrap some stuff, I think simplification is, you know, really makes you sophisticated actually, and really difficult if you're just really good at a few things. And I think from Christmas on, you just want to be really good at a few things and just do those things well. So
I agree. And how did you land on this kind of press?
You know, I was here locally with Oliver Purnell and Chalk and all those guys. And I really started liking that philosophy. Then I moved to DC. Shaka came and he was at VCU. So I was around his practices, really picked up a lot on that. And, you know, then in Atlanta, I was near Andy Landers and picked up a lot of stuff from him. So, you know, I told you that I spent some time in Wisconsin and right. I never did know Forrest Larson, but I did call him and Eddie Andrus. This was before we even had internet. And
right.
I bugged those guys and they gave me diagrams and stuff like that.
They're great guys. What made you fall into that freak defense where you, after the third, you went to man? What made you land on that? I love
really,
that.
I've done that in college, really simply because of the shot clock. And, you know, if it,
Because it makes team when you change like that, it makes a team adjust, and there's 5 seconds to just figure out what you're doing.
Right. And, you know, even at the college level, there's so many people that just want to run a system, and it's all part of the philosophy of breaking your opponent's practice habits. And, you know, nobody is going against this kind of stuff every day. There's just no way that everything that we just talked about, a team is working against. And so there might be one thing that they're prepared for, and that's fine, but you've got something else that you've been working on, and now they've got to do that. And so maybe you pulled off your full court press and some of those stunts, but now you're running your freak defense, and there's really no offense that works against it. You just have to have better players.
Right. And do you think there is an offense? You talked about like a hybrid dribble drive. Do you think there's an offense that correlates well with the 2-2-1? Like is complements it like peanut butter and jelly kind of thing?
Yeah, you might be familiar with, somebody would probably have to be a big hoop head to be familiar with, but Doug Novak is a coach in Minnesota at Bethel, a D3 coach, but he used to be at Tulane and used to be at the Citadel. He's got a website, coachdougnovak.com. It's got a ton of free stuff, and he's somebody that I've spent a lot of time with. And I think Coach Lenny Acuff just took over at Lipscomb. He was at a D2 school at University of Alabama, Huntsville. You know, those aren't two famous guys, but I guarantee you that you can learn more from those guys about offense than probably anyone at any level. And, you know, I bug those guys a lot, and they both have a two-guard front that looks like you're in a dribble drive or a Princeton set. But, you know, they're not spending as much time teaching the drop zone and all those things that it takes to get into a dribble drive. You know, it could take a year or two for your guys to learn all that stuff. And they've really simplified it. And so when you're coming down on offense, you know, what you're constantly looking for is for the ball handler to have double gaps to be able to penetrate through. And that is a dribble drive phrase. But they've really worked on kind of the next level of dribble drive, which is taking a lot of the dribble out of it and really moving the ball faster with passes. And so
does it have read and react principles in it then?
Yeah, it does. If you're familiar with the read and react, you know, some of the rotation principles, like a dribble at, you know, causes everybody to move clockwise,
right?
And things like that. And so you're constantly taking away the help defender. And so, you know, again, that's something that just lets your players play. It's letting them play out of concepts. You know, we do have set plays that we come out of, but, you know, a lot of people do set plays and then they just get into their reactionary stuff. We kind of do the opposite. We do our reactionary stuff, and then maybe at the end of the clock, we do a set play. But, you know, almost everybody at our level at the end of the clock likes to do something off of a pick and roll. And we're trying to keep the ball moving so fast, we never even get to that. I'm one of the few people I know that doesn't use a lot of on-ball screening, and I just don't like to bring that other defender to the
ball. I definitely don't at the high school level. That's one of the reasons I don't do it, is I just don't like bringing that defender at him. You know, right. It's like
if my philosophy is double gaps, then I'm totally screwing up my double gaps by bringing somebody up to the ball like that. So
right.
I don't want to confuse my players. I don't want to confuse myself. I'm not that bright. So I just want to
keep it simple. Does Coach Novak call that something, or does he just?
No, I mean, you know, he just talks about teaching concepts. And so what he's done is, really, all of their skill work and everything that they do in practice is their offense. And so I know that's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
And you kind of need to see it. But, you know, you can go on his website and you can see the videos. And then he's got PDF diagrams, fast model diagrams of all his stuff. And you can kind of see what I mean. But they build up from 1-on-1 to 4-on-4 to 5-on-5 every day. And it's just a part of everything is teaching footwork and teaching finishes and that kind of stuff. And they spend very little time actually teaching slides or anything like that we would consider offense. They just teach you basically how to play off of whoever has the ball.
So let's say he was sitting where you are and I said, hey, explain your offense. What would he say to me?
He would say it's a kind of what I just said, the next version of the dribble drive. You know, we all say that the pass moves quicker than the dribble, but then you know what high school kids, especially if they hear dribble drive, they're going to want to dribble. And so, you know, basically we have that 1 second philosophy. He has that 1 second philosophy where when you catch it, you're either going to pass it or you're going to shoot it. You know, he doesn't want you to, he wants dribbling to really be your last option. And if you think about that and how quickly the ball moves with that, it takes care of, you know, there's always one player where
the reason I'm asking the question is it sounds like kind of what we ran this year. Because it was partially read and react, but we also had, like, if they're up on you, the dribble and then the rotations. Because you got to be able to attack on that dribble. I don't like that. I don't like the low block on the opposite end on the read and react.
Yeah.
Or the dribble drive, I mean. I don't think the spacing of that works anymore with the game, the way the games change. I think you got to almost have all five out to leave space. So that's interesting.
And so what we do, what he does is you have the person in that space, but as the actions start to happen, then it ends up being five out, but it doesn't look like five out. And so when you teach it that way, anybody can be in that base, that dunker spot that we talked about. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this. If you are, maybe go over and check out Coach Collins's other podcasts, Teacher Side Gig and High School Hoops. Subscribe, like, leave a 5-star review, maybe. And then also you can go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. All right, have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.